If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We're going to continue on in our study in the book of Acts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your presence here in this place. We thank you for your great spirit and, Lord, for your love. Lord, as we've heard sung this morning again, the written in red, Lord, the evidence of your love on a cross for us. Lord, what it means to know your saving grace and mercy and love in our lives. Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds. Lord, I pray that you would speak your words through me, and that today, your church, we could receive your message. Lord, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Acts chapter 16, continuing on in the ministry of the early church, we see here in verse number 1, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. We see again, as we ended up last time, as we study in the end of chapter 15, that Paul and Barnabas were working together in the ministry. They had what we would consider a disagreement between each other, and they decided to part ways and to continue on preaching the Word of God. Remember that? If you were here with us last time, Paul and Barnabas, they broke aside from each other. Paul chose Silas, and Barnabas chose John Mark, and they took off about the ministry, right? And when we pick up now in chapter 16, verse number 1, we see Paul continue on in this ministry, and we now see as he comes along that there's this other man come on the scene with us now in the midst of the ministry. His name's Timothy. We might read about him, of course, later on as we study the Word of God. We see some very specifics here. It's kind of key to pick up as we think about the situation that we're looking at in these verses. We see discussion already up to this point in the book of Acts that we're moving away from the law and the traditions of the law into relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We're looking at what is the early church now and what does it look like today? Very same thing as we grow in relationship with the Lord. We kind of see a little bit of a picture here in this third verse that we read, that Paul brought Timothy alongside of him, and we see a struggle here. There was a difficulty amongst the Jews because Timothy was a Greek. We know very specifically that the Jews struggled with this picture, still holding on to the law and the Old Testament scriptures of circumcision. And Paul, I think very honestly, a very difficult scenario here. Paul makes a decision and tells Timothy, you're going to have to be circumcised. Again, one of the difficulties that we see here was kind of a little bit, I think, of a human nature creeping into the midst of this. We know today, very specifically, as we've already studied, that there are things that were in the Old Testament scriptures that were commanded by God for the Jews, but they were not necessarily commanded for others. And as Timothy being, his father being this Greek, as we see it here, he had not been circumcised in the Jewish tradition, and Paul thinking that it was necessary to do so in order to be accepted by the Jews. So he forced Timothy to do this. I don't know that it was necessarily would have been my choice of things to try to tell somebody to do at a later age in their life, but it was something that Paul chose to do. And obviously, I think he had searched that out. He had discerned from the Lord something very specifically here that we don't necessarily need to question. It just tells us that he did that. Timothy was circumcised so that it might go alongside him in the ministry of the Jews there. In verse 4, of course, it says, then they went about the cities and they continued on. One of the most important things that we can discern from the early church in the book of Acts is that no matter the circumstances or no matter where they went, the message was still the same. And it's so important for us today in the life of the church. Now, if we were to go from place to place, community to community, church to church, if we are a church that is believing and teaching the Word of God, then that was what we would hold to no matter where we go. That we understand today that if we were to step into other churches and in the New Testament church in the book of Acts, if we were to step into any one of these churches, we would see the same words being preached. Why? Because they were educated in the truth of Jesus Christ. And we know today that one of the difficulties we face in our world today, we've got a great multitude of churches all over the world today. We've got different varieties and different, we might call them different flavors. We've got different denominations. We've got all these different things that go about. And I want to bring to your heart this morning the importance of understanding that the church of God is a body of believers that believes without a doubt in a salvation experience through Jesus Christ alone. And that is what we ought to preach. If now we take into consideration that there are churches today that are teaching something contrary to that, then we need to understand they are not teaching biblical truth. And that's what we should be concerned with. We understand where do we go from this place. And I think it's key when we read it throughout the book of Acts, we're reminded that no matter who was preaching and where they were preaching the same message. And that's what we see in that verse there. They delivered unto them the decrees that they were to keep according to the word of God. And it's important for every one of us today as believers that we understand no matter what the name on the sign might be or where you might be in location, that the truth about the church of God is that we teach the word of God, and we not only teach salvation through Jesus Christ, but we teach every word that is written in the word of God. And we teach it as though we believe it and we live in it because it's true and genuine in our heart. Not adding to anything. Scripture gives us warning. I heard just a quick part of that in Sunday school as I was coming in late this morning. Same reminder that we think about those things. That we know today that the most important thing is we teach and believe the Word of God. Amen. Cover to cover, word for word. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. We don't put in our opinions or our ideas. We don't put in all of these things and say this is what the church ought to be. We look to the truth of God. And these men were faithfully doing that wherever they went. It tells us there, the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem had kind of set out all of these things. They trained these individuals in the truth and the word of God. And it tells us in verse 5, one of the key parts that we see in the book of Acts was so were the church established in faith. Today, churches are established in faith through Jesus Christ and the truth of the word of God. Amen. What it means to be established is there's no movement, there's no foundation in the life of the church today. There's no room for us to come into the midst of the church and say, well, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and he wants to do that, and she wants to do that, and we should try all of these things. The call for the church today in America is to stand on the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
The call for the church in Fowler, Colorado, and Rocky Ford, and Only Springs, and wherever we might go that God leads us to, is to preach the Word of God. And when we preach and teach the Word of God, as it says by faith here, it says the churches are established, which means that they're rooted and they're grounded in the Word of God. And when we think about a church that's established, at least in my mind, the thought comes to an understanding that says this church, not a building, this church, this body of believers is not going to pass away. When we are faithful to the Word of God, His church will stand.
Amen.
Because God has created it. And God has designed the church to be in fellowship and relationship with Him. It is one of the very keys that is often overlooked in the church today. That we can add to or we can take away things that fit our life and our situations. That is not what God has commanded us to do. We see when they were faithful, what happens in verse number 5. And so the churches were established in faith. And look what it says. And they increased in number daily. The church grew. Not just on Sundays. Imagine that. Not just on Wednesdays, not just when we thought we'd get together, but daily the church grew, which means that every single day of the week, somebody was coming to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's important for us this morning to grab a hold of that and understand what God is still calling for the church today. There should not be a day passing in our life today when somebody doesn't come to know Jesus Christ. When somebody doesn't get serious about their relationship with the Lord and grow. And if we as the church are doing what God has called us to do, then we're going to see that happen. I got a text message just yesterday from one of my cousins, clear on the other side of the country. And he said, hey, just wanted you to keep praying. He says, I had an unexpected funeral this week. He said, I didn't know about it, didn't know it was going to happen, but somebody asked me to preach a funeral. So we come up to a funeral and I preached this funeral service. He says, guess what? 9 people got saved.
Amen.
And he said most of those people had no connection with a church at all. Had never been in a church until that funeral service. 9 people got saved yesterday. And you know what his text said? Pray for 2 more. I want to see 11 in the next 24 hours get saved. And I told him, I said, man, that's great. We ought to be praying for that every single day. That should not be something that's new to the church. When we get together, people should be getting saved. When we're out on the streets, people should be getting saved. And when the church is grounded on the Word of God and we do what God has called us to do, people will grow.
Amen.
People will come to a relationship with Christ. And it's what we see in the book of Acts, and it's not impossible today in Fowler, Colorado, if we would be serious about what God has called us to do.
Amen.
We'd be committed to the truth of God. In verse number 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. We continue on in the ministry of the church. Daily the church is growing, and we see this very particular situation. They go to a couple of different places. They're mentioned right here very specifically. They went in there, and it tells us in verse number 6, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. And this is important to understand. When the Holy Spirit is working and moving, then it's important for the church to go where God has called us to go and not go where He hasn't called us to go. That's one of the most difficult things for us to comprehend today. It's one of the most difficult things for us to understand that God would say to the church, "Do not go here. Do not go there. Do not speak this. Do not speak that." We don't understand it today because we don't live in that mindset. Our world and our thoughts, and even in the life of the church today, we say often, "Well, we ought to go everywhere and do all these things." I wonder today, this morning, in the life of the church, if we were willing to be listening to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit that we see in this verse here, it says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost. That's the same Spirit that lives in your heart today if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And I wonder this morning, has there been a time in your life when you just knew the Holy Spirit was saying, "Don't"?
Yep.
And you said, "I want to do it anyways," and you did it? That's the hard part, right? The Holy Spirit says, "Don't do this," and you say, "Well, it makes sense to do this. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to go there." Every one of us, we always hear that comment, right? 2020 vision, that hindsight is always 2020. We look back and we say, "Oh man, it's clear as day now. I wished I wouldn't have done that," right? This is an opportunity for those things in our life today as the church. When the Holy Spirit is moving in our life and when we're in tune and in fellowship and relationship with Christ and the church is doing what God has called us to do, we're standing on the Word, the truth of God. The Holy Spirit has free movement and He will guide us. And I'm telling you today, there are things today that God is telling us not to do, and there are things and places that God is calling us to go to. And I challenge your heart this morning in this church, in this place. God has called us to Solid Rock, to Fowler, Colorado, to do what He's calling us to do right now. And it is evidence that He has called us to Only Springs and He has called us to Rocky Ford. And we need to stay faithful to do what He's called us to do.
Amen.
We've got to be committed to do what He's calling us to do, and don't do something He's not calling us to do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to challenge your heart this morning. The most important thing you could do individually is listen to that Spirit that lives in your heart. And for these men, they went from place to place. And you think about it, just in this same small little scenario, Paul and these men are faithful to serve the Lord, and they're going from place to place, and the church is growing, and people are getting saved daily, it says. People were added to the church. And they come to the next place with the same kind of excitement that we would probably have, right? I mean, if we're seeing people get saved, wouldn't we want to come back next week and see the same thing? And we go from place to place and we look over here and we say, "Well, there's some opportunity over there. I want to go there." And their desire naturally would have been, "Yeah, let's go. We're going and we're seeing." But the Spirit said, "Don't." And not only over to Asia, but then we see again, they come to Mysia, it says there, and they say to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit said, "No, don't go there." And then in the midst of all of these things and the movement of the Spirit, the Spirit speaks to Paul in the evening and He says, "Go," right? Did you catch that? In this vision, that is a movement of the Holy Spirit. The vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." So I want to challenge your heart this morning. I know that it's not something that we talk about commonly, and I think that God speaks differently today to the church. I do. I'm not going to tell you that God's going to wake you up in the middle of the night and give you one particular vision. I think we're seeing something different in the book of Acts here. This is the early church as God was using and working in those things. God has given us vision today for His church, and it's written in here. It's written in His Word and it's written in His entirety. This is something very important for the church today. God, I believe wholeheartedly from His Word, gives us truth and understanding to know His complete vision is already written. It's important today. You're not going to hear this in the world. The world says we can hear from God and get all kinds of special revelations and visions. We have God's revelation right here.
Amen.
If it's not in here, we're not to do it.
That's right.
That's a warning for the church today. It doesn't mean that God doesn't direct us through His Holy Spirit like He did here. But He spoke very real to Paul in this instance because they were the early leaders of the church and they didn't have the New Testament. They're living the New Testament.
Right.
As we're reading it, they didn't have what we have here. There's a difference in the church today.
Amen.
If somebody claims special visions from God today and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, they're lying to you.
That's right.
And I know that's hard to hear. I know it, but you've got to study the truth of the Word of God. Understand, God gave His church the vision right here. We follow the Word of God and the truth. That's what it means to stand wholly on the Word of God. But God gave very specific vision to Paul. Why? And I want you to think, I do believe God gives us as the church vision, and that is through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the reading and the studying of the Word of God, and that's how God directs this church and every other church that's willing to follow it. If we're faithful and committed to doing it. And I believe God is doing that today. What did God, as an example of just what we've talked about in our church here, we know for a fact that God has called us to make disciples, to go and make disciples, and that's what we're doing in Fowler, in Only Springs, in Rocky Ford. We're doing what God has called us to do. That's discerning God's vision for the church. And it's important this morning for us to grab a hold of what we see for Paul. This vision came to Paul directly from the Lord, and no different than God has given this church a vision for other communities in this Arkansas Valley. It's the same kind of vision. That's all it is. God gave a vision to Paul through this man. And this man in Macedonia says, Paul, come over here and help us. And it's the same cry that lost people are asking for today from the church. Come into the world and help us see Jesus. It's the same situation. Paul saw this vision. And this vision appeared a man. And the man from Macedonia said, come over here into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, look what it says. We endeavored to go and do what God had called us to do. Now this is again one of the most difficult, challenging parts of the church today. When we hear and see the vision of God in the church, then we want to make plans, right? We want to get all our ducks in a row. We want to line it all out. We want to make sure that everything's just the way we need it to be and when we want it to be and how we want it to be. Isn't that what it says right there? No, it says they endeavored to do it. What does that mean? It means they took a step of faith. It means, hey, Lord, we're looking. Think about from Paul's perspective. Hey, Lord, I'm right here in Asia. I can speak here in Asia. I can go over here and speak to these other people. And people are going to come to know you. But the Holy Spirit said, no, move on to Macedonia. Move on to this place. And Paul had an opportunity to do the same thing that every one of us have to do every single day. Make a decision. Are we going to listen to the Holy Spirit that's moving in our life? Or are we going to make a decision to do what we want and hope the Lord's okay with it? Right? I know that gets personal. No, nobody wants to talk about that. But oftentimes we make decisions in our life today because it's what we're comfortable with. And then when we get there and we've done it, we decide in our mind, man, I sure hope the Lord was okay with that. I hope everything's going to work out because this is what I really wanted to do. And Paul could have made the very same decision, but it says immediately, and a key part of this verse is that we, Paul was leading according to the Holy Spirit and a group of people. We, the church, endeavored to go about what he had called them to do. They gathered up to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us there. So that we is another important thing in the church today. Very key for movement in the church. Do we know where God is leading us? God has designed the body of Christ to work in unity. It's another very key important thing for us today. We understand even in an example of what we've done in Only Springs and what we're doing in Rocky Ford and wherever God might lead us to in the future. We understand that it's a we situation, that we as the church, for all of you that don't like those business meetings, you know, you understand what the we is. We come together every month and we talk about what is it that God is calling us to do. That's why we have the business meeting, if you didn't know that. It's not just to say that we have a meeting. It's so that we as the church can strive to discern what God has called us to do. As I'm going to tell you right now, this is not my church, and it's not your church. It's the house of the Lord, and it's the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we hear people say those things, and I hear it all the time. People will come up and ask me, hey, where's your church? I said, well, my church, where we meet, is down here in Fowler. Where we meet's in Rocky Ford. Where we meet's in Only Springs. The body of Christ is the church. And we've got to understand, just as Paul did here in this verse, it says, we came together. We endeavored to go into Macedonia. And why? Look what it says in the last part of the verse. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Paul says, we came together. We determined, assuredly gathered together in our mind that this is where God wants us to go. And that's why it's one of the most important things we could ever do in the body of Christ. You don't realize today, if maybe you don't know, that God's true plan for the church, save, baptize, join a church. That's God's plan. Get in the body of Christ so that we can grow together and we can work together. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have all the answers. You didn't know that already, right? We don't have all the answers. I don't have every answer for everything. God does. Amen. The Word of God does. And He's called us as a church to fellowship together to determine what's next. Where do we go? What do we do? And Paul knew well enough as a leader in the church, and it says here, these men were gathered together. It's by no mistake that these men kept coming together and God kept bringing other individuals to minister with Paul. That was the purpose of the church. And it's the same purpose that we see today. They went about and they went to gathering everybody together, and they determined, it says, God had called us to do what? Same thing we started out with, right? He didn't call us to go do some fancy, wild, crazy thing that nobody had ever done before. He called them to preach the Word of God. Preach the truth of Jesus Christ. It's the same call that's given to the church today. Therefore, in verse 11, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. And a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now we see that Paul, they've made the journey. They've gone where God's called them to go. They've in this place now. And it tells us at Philippi there in this place of Macedonia. And they're at the Sabbath day, the day of worship, the day set aside for rest, it says. And we think about that this morning. And they go to this place. And after, he says, we went to the Sabbath out of the city by a riverside. Man, doesn't that sound like a cool place to be on a Sunday morning? The place of worship out by the river. Anybody ever go to the river on Sunday morning just to relax? They went down to this place. I want you to consider, they didn't take their fishing poles. Did you see that? They weren't out there fishing. What does it say? They went to the place, they went to the river, and there were some women already gathered there. There were some people already gathered to this place. What were they doing? Prayer. Prayer was wanting to be made. We sat down and we spake unto the women which resorted there, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now we think about what just happened. That we had a decision to make. Paul had a choice to make. I'm going to stay where I'm at and keep preaching where I'm going to preach, or I'm going to go where God has called me to go. I'm going to take the vision that God has given to me, and I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And I want you to consider for just a minute, what would happen if Paul decided he didn't want to go to Macedonia? And we come now just a few days after that, and he made the decision to be obedient to the Lord, and we come to the Sabbath day, and we come to this place, and now we find ourselves at the river. And Paul says, you know what, just a couple of days ago I was heading to Asia, I was going to do some other things. Now God brought me to the river down here at Philippi in Macedonia. And what did God want? But for Paul to come down to this place, to this moment, where there was a group of individuals praying, and look what it says in that verse as we read it, which worshipped God in verse number 14. There was this woman. It tells us a little bit about this woman. Her name was Lydia. It says she was a seller of purple. Just gives us an indication of this woman. I tend to think in my own mind that just gives us an indication she was a common everyday person that worked for a living, did everything just like everybody else. God called Paul to this place. For what reason? So that she might come to know the Lord. Did you catch that? It tells us there. She was a seller of purple in Thyatira, which worshiped God. Here's a key important thing today. Do you understand today that there's a lot of people in the world today that are worshiping God? And they have no idea who He is? Did you catch that in that verse as we read it? It tells us very specifically something about Lydia. She worshiped God. She was there. She was in that place. And I'm going to challenge your heart this morning. There's people maybe even sitting in this room this morning that are here to worship God but don't really know who Jesus is. Paul went down to the river where God had called him to go. And he spoke the truth of the Word of God. And it says there, the heart, look at her heart. She worshiped God. Paul says she heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened. Before Paul ever came to Macedonia, God had begun working in the heart of this woman. That's what it says. Her heart was open, which means she was ready to hear the truth.
Amen.
And there are people today all over this world that God is opening their hearts. But it takes a couple of things. It takes obedience by the church and commitment to do what God has called us to do. Obedience by getting up and going where God has called us to go. We're here, right here in Fowler, where God has established this church in this place. The same purpose is here for us today. Preach the Word of God in Only Springs, in Rocky Ford, where God has called us to be. We preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. And believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, God is opening the hearts of people. It's the same Spirit working. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What does that mean? She not only heard it, but she took it to heart. She understood it. She believed. Paul taught that there was only one way to heaven. That was through Jesus Christ. Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. Then, look what happens. How many times have we discussed this in the book of Acts? What happened? Lydia got saved. That means she came to salvation experience with Jesus Christ. What happened next? She got baptized. Are you seeing a theme yet? What has God called us to do? Tell people about Christ. Get them saved, get them baptized, and get them in the church. That's God's plan. It's no different today. It's exactly what we preach and teach, what we should be living every single day. When she was baptized, and look what happened. Not only her, look what it says, her whole house came to know Christ. And whether you realize it or not, that's the way God works. When the Holy Spirit's working in the heart and the life of somebody today, guaranteed, there's at least 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 other people attached to that person that are going to get the same joy and excitement over the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And for this woman, she got serious about God, and when she got serious, her whole family came to know Christ. You want to know today what God's called for the church? Reach that one person and let God keep doing what He's going to do. And when we reach one person for Jesus Christ, you guaranteed you've got more people that are attached to that person that are going to know Christ.
Amen.
And a big part of them coming to know Christ is exactly what we see there. That salvation experience, and then she was willing to be obedient. When she was willing to be obedient and be baptized, look what it says. Her whole household came. She besought us, and then what'd she say? Hey, you guys are here, and you don't have a place to stay, you don't have anything to do, why don't you come to my house? I want you to stay here in fellowship with us. She constrained us, it says. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Man, this thing just keeps growing, doesn't it? They're in the house of Lydia. They're worshiping the Lord. They're serving God. And he says, in the midst of that, while we're hanging out, we go back for prayer again. We come to this time of prayer, and on the way there, we find this woman. If you don't know that spirit of divination, and she was messing around with the evil spirits. She is a fortune teller, if you want to call it that. Think about it today. There's a lot of people searching after their fortune and their whatever they can get from somebody else, right? They want somebody to tell them all about the future and all those kind of things. I'll bring you a warning from the Word of God today. That's not scriptural.
That's right.
Those spirits are not of God. Does it happen? Absolutely. Is it right? No. God's called very specifically. They're on their way to prayer and by no chance, right? It's no accident that they run into this woman. It says in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Man, now look. We understand that she's got a spirit of divination. That's an evil spirit that's working in this young girl's life. And she now sees Paul and the faithful servants of God preaching and teaching the Word of God. And what does she say? She starts getting real loud. out in the streets and in the corners and everywhere where everybody can see her and hear her, she's saying, hey, guess what? Here's these men. And what are they doing? They're telling us about salvation. I want you to think about it for just a minute. When the Holy Spirit is working and moving, guess what? The old devil's right there too. And the old devil's there and he's working in this situation. And I find it very exciting to think about what happened. Do you realize that this woman filled with an evil spirit, not the Spirit of God, was proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ? Did you catch that? Even though she was wrong, she was living a wrong life, she knew the truth. Why? Because the Scripture tells us that Satan knows the truth.
That's right.
He was an angel in heaven that was cast out. He knows who God is. He knows who the Son of God is. And even though she was about her evil business, the Word of God was still proclaimed.
Amen.
The truth of God. And that's only because the Holy Spirit was moving and working. And the God that we say is the God of this world, and the God that I hope in your heart today, this morning, you say is the Lord of your life, can work through those things no matter what. And this young girl had no idea that she was just going, she was pointing the finger at Paul and Silas. She was pointing the finger at all these other men that had come before and were preaching and teaching the Word of God. She was trying to create a negative situation in this situation where the Holy Spirit was moving. But they've showed unto us, look what she says in 17, they show us which is the right way, the way unto salvation. And this, look what verse 18 says, this did she many days. Over and over, every time Paul would come out and preach, she's over there. It's kind of like one of those hecklers, you know. She was out there pointing the finger and saying, hey, there's them guys over there. They're speaking the things of God and the truth of God. But Paul, look what it says, being grieved, turned, and he said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Paul said, that's enough. You're no longer going to have control over this woman. He called out that evil spirit. There's another area we have to recognize today. God had bestowed upon him some very specific powers and abilities. It's a sign of a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is, again, today, very key for us in the church. I don't believe, if we study the Scripture out very plainly, that we have that ability today. We don't need that ability today because the Spirit has been revealed.
Amen.
The truth of Jesus Christ has been revealed. The church does not need these kind of gifts today. Because we have the Holy Spirit that convicts.
Amen.
And brings this understanding to people's life and heart today. Our responsibility is to do what Paul did. Preach the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he preached it, the Spirit came out. In verse number 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and they drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Now, that gives us another little picture, right? Now, we're just introduced to this young girl that's been very literally controlled by an evil spirit. You recognize now that there were people making money off of this girl.
Yep.
She was not only under the control of the devil, but she was under the control of the world. The men, because these men, they figured out she had a gift, she had an ability that nobody else had, so they were taking her out and they were getting people to pay them. Hey, you pay us and she'll tell you your future. She'll tell you what you want to know. Now all of a sudden, if the spirit's gone and the girl has no ability to do this, now they're broke, right? They got no job. They got no person to use. What happened? God freed this young girl.
Amen.
From a spirit that was controlling her so that she could understand the true Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And it's the same work that God will do today in the church. You understand today, maybe we may not see it specifically in this instance as we think about it. But there are a great many people today. The truth of the Word of God is if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the devil.
That's right.
And we're in opposition today. Plain and simple. That's as simple as God's made it. And it's obvious today, if you don't believe me, study the Word of God. We understand that the truth of the Word of God is plain and simple.
Amen.
There's a Spirit of God and He's moving in this place. He's moving in our world. And there is an evil spirit out there and we need to be on guard for it.
Amen.
Be serious about it. We see what happened now, that the Lord has freed this young girl. And of course, it causes an uproar. And we're going to stop there this morning. We've got a whole lot more in chapter 16. You've got to come back next time so we can pick up and see what happens. We know today, very specifically, that God has called in the church to be serious about what God is asking of us. Amen. Preach and teach the Word of God. Pray for discernment and understanding from the Word of God. And as a church and as an individual Christian, if you've got a relationship with the Lord today, this is your guide. This is your roadmap for where we go and what we do. And it's the most important thing we could ever do in the life of the church and out there in the world today. Help others to see Jesus and help them to know the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And the church will be established if we do that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your Word and Your truth this morning. Lord, I thank You for how You guide us through these things. And Lord, the challenge that You bring to our hearts to know, most importantly today, Lord, if there's one person in this room that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that You'd help them to come. I pray that You'd help them to know and understand today that the only way to know everlasting life is to know You as their personal Savior. Lord, for those of us that can say that we have a relationship with You, I pray that You put it in our hearts and our minds that we'd know, Lord, that You're calling us to very specific tasks. Lord, to do what You've called us to do. Whatever that might be, for all of us it might be something different today. Maybe we need to be saved, maybe we've never done that. Maybe we need to follow in believer's baptism. You say, Lord, someone here in this room that has never been obedient and followed You in baptism, I pray that You'd help them to come. In this time of invitation, Lord, we can share with them what it means to do that. Lord, that we can help them to be obedient. Lord, maybe You've called others to come and be a part of this church. Lord, to make their commitment to be here and be a part of this body of believers that meets here in this place so that we can go about the work together that You've called us to. Lord, maybe there's other things that we need to just confess this morning. We've got sin in our heart. We've not been right with You in the recent days, and we know we need to confess that and be right with You so that we can be used of You today. Whatever Your will is in this place, I pray You'd help us today, Lord, to be the obedient church that You've asked us to be. That Your Word would go into this world through our lives, and that Your church would be established this morning. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, and we ask these things in Your most precious name. Amen.
Amen.
You will stand with me. You're going to use your hymnal. It's page number 300. Thank You again for Your presence here. We thank You for Your love and direction in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would just guide us from this place this morning. Lord, that we're reminded of Your presence and Your love in our life. And Lord, that we would be obedient to You today. Whatever You've called us to do, Lord, that we would just simply say yes. That we might be the established, faithful church You've called us to be. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen.